Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 16th day of May, 2024. Before I introduce my guest and topic for the day, I do have a reminder for you. If you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free biannual pastor's luncheon, the next one being held on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. It is absolutely free of charge, and not only is your admission free and your lunch free, but every single attendee will receive a very heavy sack, maybe even two heavy sacks, of free, brand-new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. And this year, for the very first time, I am honored with the privilege of having as my keynote speaker Dr. Joel Beakey, who is currently the Chancellor of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was the founder of that fine institution and was president until his recent retirement from that post, but he is a very busy man traveling all over the world as an itinerant evangelist and conference speaker and author. So if you would like to attend this free event, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. In fact, Dr. Joel Beakey has a connection with my guest today, and I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest today. His name is Joel Favre. He is pastor of a Reformed Baptist congregation in Grenoble, France. And today we are going to be addressing a Reformed witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ in France, the land from which Reformer John Calvin fled. And it is my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Joel Favre.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be with you. It's a great honor to be on your show. Thanks.
And I'm especially grateful since you had to stay up later, perhaps, than normal because of the hour, the time difference there in France.
Yeah, that's right.
But first of all, if you could please explain or describe this Reformed Baptist congregation there in Grenoble, France.
Yes, I'm a pastor of this church who's been here for about 25 years now. It's been planted in the late 1990s. And at the start, it was the beginning of the church was a plant by an American missionary, actually, who came from Atlanta, near Atlanta in the south of the United States. And he came here at the end of the 1990s to plant this church because there was a small group of French people who had left some evangelical churches here in Grenoble because they had discovered the doctrines of grace, and they had discovered expository preaching, and they wanted to have a church where the Bible would be expounded faithfully and where the doctrines of grace would be preached. And so there were a couple of families who left those evangelical churches in Grenoble. They, at the start, they just met in a house here near where I live right now. And they met for, you know, a couple of years just on their own, a few families together in a home, trying to discover together the doctrines of grace. And they at some point realized that there was this, you know, American missionary not very far from here in a town called Chalon-sur-Saône. And well, they reached out to him and asked him if he would consider coming here to Grenoble to plant this church. And he did. He came. And so they planted the church officially. I think it was in 1999. And this missionary stayed for about 12 years, I think. Then the church has been without a pastor, but with three elders for about 6 years. And then I came, and so I've been here for about 7 years now. And this church is quite a small church. I mean, for France, it's a normal size, but we're about 50 to 60 people on a Sunday. And so we have the 1689 Confession of Faith as our confession of faith here in the church, and the members who people who become member have to sign that confession of faith. And so that's what we teach. You know, we teach the Bible, but we are based on this confession of faith. And we've seen God's faithfulness over the years for us.
Praise God. But by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this. I know that you recently preached at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, and I had the honor and privilege to hear you preach a very powerful message. But it may or may not surprise you. I don't know how much you are aware of American churches. But Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, for confessionally Reformed Baptist churches, is a mega church. in other words, most Reformed Baptist churches that I'm aware of in the United States are about the same size as the church where you pastor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I was saying it. We're small in the sense of compared to the church in Carlisle, but I'm sure, yeah, other churches in the States would be in a similar size as us. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was indeed a wonderful sermon, and I want to let everybody know that they can hear that sermon for free by going to the website of Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, and that website is gracebaptistcarlisle.org. Carlisle is spelled Carlisle. And you can click on sermons and look for Joel Favre, which is his last name is spelled F-A-V as in victory, R-E. And you'll be able to hear that sermon for yourself. And I was quite blessed by it. And look forward to future opportunities to hear you preach, God willing. I hope you return to the States often and preach for us.
Well, thanks. I hope so. It was a great blessing to be there to see the church. And it's been, you know, there's been a connection with this church in Carlisle for many years, this church in Carlisle and our church in Grenoble, because actually they've been supporting that missionary I was talking about who planted the church. So his name is David Vaughan.
Yes.
And I know he's been financially supported by the church in Carlisle. So that it was great for me to be back there and to be able to see, to tell people where the church is at, and to explain how God has been faithful and faithfully used the support they gave to that church to reach people here. And so, yeah, it was very encouraging for me as well to be there.
And if anybody listening is in France, especially if you are in or near Grenoble, France, whether you live there or are vacationing there, or maybe you have family, friends, and loved ones in or near Grenoble, France, you're looking for a biblically solid church, the website is erb-grenoble, G-R-E-N-O-B-L-E, .fr for France. erb-grenoble.fr. And God willing, we will repeat that website later on in the show. Well, we have a tradition here, Pastor Joel. Whenever we have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and the providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I would love to hear your story.
Well, yeah, sure. So I was born in France, but then raised in Switzerland, in Lausanne. And I grew up in a Christian home. So my dad was a pastor. He still is a pastor. He's just retired, actually, but he's been a pastor his whole life. And he was a pastor of a Reformed Baptist church in Lausanne. And so I grew up in this Christian home. I've been, you know, taught the Bible from a young age. And my parents gave me a great example of what it means to follow Jesus. So I'm very grateful for that. But I guess that's maybe one of the things we'll talk about later, but, you know, being a Christian in France, even in Switzerland, is quite tough in a sense. It's a very, very small minority. And so I guess when I arrived at the age of, you know, 14, 15, 16, I began to drift a bit away from church. I was still going there most of the time, but, you know, basically because I wanted to keep up appearances, but I was really far from the Lord. In God's providence, at some point, I was really near the place where I was going to, you know, quit the church and say to my parents it wasn't for me. And when we actually had two young men from the United States who came to our place, they were doing a trip in Europe, and they came from a Reformed Baptist church in the south of from Georgia, actually, from Macon in Georgia, and they found us on some website. I guess they found the Reformed Baptist church I was. They saw my dad was a pastor there, and so they asked if they could stay for a while, and they did. And my parents asked them if I could stay during that summer by them, in Macon, Georgia, if I could spend a few months there to practice my English and learn the language and so on. And so I did. So I went. I was 17 years old. I went to Georgia, Macon, Georgia, for a summer. And, you know, it's strange sometimes what God uses in his providence to draw someone to him. But I think I was in a great family. The people there were just great. I had a blessed time with them. They were great, men and great men and women of God, the parents of that family. But I think that the whole atmosphere what you call the Bible Belt in the south of the United States, where there's so many cultural Christian, well, people who yes. say they're Christian, but it's just traditions. I think it just brought me to realize what I was living. I found, if you will, that there was a lot of hypocrisy in the people I met over that summer. No, I'm not speaking about the family where I was. They were great Christian again, but most people living in that area, they would call themselves Christians, but they were not, obviously not. And this whole hypocrisy, I think it's helped me to see my own hypocrisy in, you know, going to church, being the good pastor's kids and keeping up appearances when actually my heart was very far from the Lord. And I think God used that to break me in a sense. I think I had never doubted that God was there. I had never doubted the gospel. I knew it was true, but I just didn't want God to be Lord of my life, and I think he used that in a way as a kind of, you know, a mirror to my soul to show me how dark and sinful I was. And so that's really what God used. Actually, what I tend to say also with regard to my testimony is that my dad was a pastor, and I always felt the sense that God was calling me to the ministry even before I was converted. I had this sense, I don't know why, that if God was to convert me, I would then go into full-time pastoral ministry. And I just didn't want to. I didn't want to, not because I had such a bad experience with my dad, not at all. I don't know. I just didn't want to follow that path. And I think that was also part of my journey. I think during that summer there in Georgia, I think, there was a struggle, and God's finally broke me and led me to the point where I just said, well, you know what? I don't know what you're going to do with me, Lord, but this is your life. It's not my life. It's yours. And just do whatever you want. And, and that summer when I came back home, it was just clear for me that a great change had happened. It's not, you know, this kind of extraordinary conversion. I wasn't a bad kid before, and suddenly everything changed. It's just I had this anger inside of me, and when I came back, I remember the first meal I took with my family just after I came back, and there was a sense of peace and just a thankfulness to be there. And and I think that's the point where I realized, well, something happened that summer, and it's true. It's really the way God's in his providence, how he worked to bring me to him.
Amen. And I know that Reformed Baptists, one of the differences we have with our Presbyterian brethren is that we do not require formal training, seminary training, for the pastoral ministry, because the Bible doesn't require it. But I was just curious if you did pursue seminary training or any other kind of formal training to further prepare yourself for the pastoral ministry.
Yeah, sure. So when I had this sense of being called to ministry even before my conversion. I got converted, and then quite quickly I talked with the elders in my church about this sense that I was called for the ministry, and they were very wise. They just said, well, that's great. It's good. And what we encourage you to do is just to stay in the church, get involved. They gave me opportunities to preach, to teach Bible studies and teach youth groups and things like this. And they also advised me to learn a job, you know, a secular job. So I worked for 4 years as a bookseller in Switzerland. And then when the time came for my training, I met someone I knew for quite a long time, but maybe his name will mean something to you. His name is Tuat Olyot. He's a British pastor who worked in Switzerland for quite a long time. So Stuart was teaching at the Bible Institute in London. And when he learned I wanted to study theology, he just encouraged me to come to London to that seminary. So the seminary where I went to was the London Seminary. It's a seminary that was founded by Martin Lloyd-Jones.
Oh, actually. Wow.
Martin Lloyd-Jones founded that seminary in London to train preachers and pastors. So I spent two years there, mainly learning to preach. Actually, it was it's not really a theological training in the sense their aim is really to equip people to be able to preach God's word.
Mainly homiletics.
We studied theology. Yeah, it's mainly homiletics. So we did obviously theology, but it's mainly pastoral theology and homiletics. Yeah. So I did 2 years in London, and then since I wanted to be pastor in France, I thought it would be good to study theology in France as well. So I went to Aix-en-Provence. It's in the south of France near Marseille. to the John Calvin Institute, and I studied 3 years there. I did a THM there.
Now, since you spent so much of your life in Switzerland, even though you were born in France, can you tell us any differences that you've noticed between the religious climate of Switzerland and France? And of course, that even may depend upon the region and so forth. Here in the United States, there is radical differences in the religious climate right here in one nation, depending upon where you go, northeast, northwest, midwest, south, et cetera. As you were mentioning before, the Bible Belt is sadly saturated with nominalism, and the southern reformed pastors in the United States will be the first to tell you that. In fact, I had an encounter years ago with a Presbyterian pastor from Mississippi who was an elderly man at the time. He's most likely in heaven now. But during our phone conversation, he said in his very deep Mississippi grizzled accent, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from New York." He goes, "Well, New York, you got it easy. You just got to get people saved. We got to get them lost, then get them saved." But so if you could, just from your own experience, where you lived in Switzerland and where you would eventually move to France, tell us about some of the cultural differences, especially in light of Christianity.
Yeah, sure. So going back to the 17th century, French, the Catholics in France, they persecuted the Protestants, the Huguenots, uh-huh. who had to flee France, and many of them went to Switzerland. And so the big difference is still felt today, that actually Switzerland is still, at least in some region, is a very Protestant country. And so you would have a mixture in Switzerland of regions that are more Catholics and others that are more Protestants. But so it's quite normal in Switzerland to be Protestant, evangelicals. People would kind of know what you're talking about when you speak about that, when you say that you're Protestant. There's been also, because there hasn't been something like the French Revolution in Switzerland. So religion has never been kicked out of the public square. So in Switzerland, more generally, religions still are part of the, public life. You'd hear people on TV talk about religion, about faith. That's still part of the culture in some sense. Huh. Whereas in France, faith. France is one of the most secular nations on the planet. So since the French Revolution, 200 years ago, Christian faith has really been carefully kept out of the public square. Mm-hmm. The use of religious language and symbols was even outlawed in public life in the years after the French Revolution. It still is the case in many ways. Having faith or being spiritual, being Christian or Protestant, is often seen as odd or as a form of ignorance or superstition in France, which is not the case in Switzerland. There are quite big differences. If you think about more ethics or ethical issues, Switzerland would be more like, Protestant countries like the Netherlands or Scandinavia, where they would be very much at the forefront of progressive ethical issues. So like, abortion or euthanasia, they would be really pushing that very, very much further than France, and countries like France or Italy or Spain, who are more Catholic. They would be more conservative on these issues. So not everything is better in Switzerland in that regard, not at all. But it's you know, religion is still in Switzerland, it's very much part of the public square. You can talk about your faith, whereas in France, it's really kept out of the public square. So that's a big difference.
But having said that, from what you just explained, in Switzerland, even though religion is a common thing to be discussed in the public square, it seems that the dominance of what is called Christianity is apostate, leftist, mainline, so-called Christianity.
Yeah, it's very much so. Yeah, sure. So it's very the official church, what we call the Reformed Swiss Church, the state church in this sense, is very, very liberal, and very leftist. So yeah, of course, it's not strong Christianity, but there's more. It's more part of still the tradition. People would more easily consider themselves Christians and so forth, even if it's just, you know, traditions.
Right.
And, yeah.
Now, if you are having a typical conversation, it might be just a lighthearted greeting with a neighbor, and you're having a little conversation about the weather and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If you start to get more in depth about your beliefs, and if you were to mention a historic figure, especially in Switzerland, even though he's originally from France, if you were to mention John Calvin, would most people, even evangelicals that may exist there, would they even know who you're talking about?
Well, probably not, at least not in my generation. Maybe people from an older generation maybe know Calvin, but they would know him more as a political figure, because, well, of what he did in Geneva. And so people would maybe know his name, but more as this kind of, you know, quite grim political figure,
right.
had a strong grip on Geneva for such a long time. And so people would know him like this, but not as a theologian, a Christian, and they would have no idea what he preached, what he taught. And mainly, I think in my generation, people would have just no idea who he is. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to go to our first commercial break. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Joel Favre right after these messages.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com. making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase. So if you are going to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com if you really love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because if you mention us, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale, whether you are getting a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created or if you're purchasing jewelry right off of their website from what they have in stock already. It doesn't matter. We will get 100% of the profits if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase, because we have no idea when royaldiadem.com will pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. And keep in mind, royaldiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that this offer is on top of the financial support that they already automatically provide for us every single month. So this is just an amazing added bonus where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. Go to royaldiadem.com, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Pastor Joel Favre. He is a Reformed Baptist church, and he is a Reformed Baptist pastor in Grenoble, France. And we do have a listener, David in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. And David is also on the staff with Christian Businessmen's Connection in South Central Pennsylvania. And he asks, was the church that you are affiliated with ever affiliated with the Federation of Baptist Churches of France? And are you aware of Raymond Collet?
No, I'm not. It's a name that doesn't ring any bell. And we've not been affiliated to the Federation of Baptist Churches in France. So no, the name doesn't ring any bell. I'm sorry.
His next question is, can you explain the difference between these two churches, the Baptist Church of Grenoble? dash, and I'm never going to be able to pronounce this correctly, so I'll just spell it, ECHIROLLES, and the Reformed Baptist Congregation where you pastor.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So actually, the Baptist church you mentioned is just on the other side of the city here. I knew the pastor they had a pastor who left just last year who had been there for about 10 years. He was a good friend of mine, Polifona. So the big difference would be that people in that Baptist church would not have a Calvinistic understanding of salvation. They would have a more Arminian understanding of salvation. They would tend to have more, kind of worship style of service on Sunday, not traditional like we would have with hymns. And they would be more open to charismatics, gifts, and also to women in pastoral ministry. So, for example, now that this pastor's left, they have a new pastor who came in, and that's a woman. So they're very open to pastoral ministry for women. So it's a church. As I said, the previous pastor was a great friend of mine. So we have contact with the church, but it's not a church we would necessarily partner with for these reasons.
Well, if you had a close friendship with the former pastor, even though they're not Calvinistic, I'm assuming they're not vehemently anti-Calvinistic.
No, and especially him. I think he especially was actually quite close to a Calvinistic understanding of salvation. So, but the church in general would not be, and they would not have a, they would have a quite, well, you know, not very clear confession of faith, and most of people would have an Arminian understanding of salvation. Yeah.
Now, is that common for non-Reformed Baptist churches in France to be non-cessationist or charismatic in their understanding of the sign gifts, and also egalitarian, where they are ordaining women?
Yes, very much so. So not, you know, not every church would. There's been some. There are some Baptist churches from a Brethren background who would be more conservative on these issues, but most evangelical churches, non-Reformed evangelical churches, would be non-cessationist and open to women in pastoral ministry. So yeah, that would be very much the case in many churches in France. Yeah.
Now, do you have any experience having interaction with independent fundamentalist Baptists in the United States? Many of them, not all, but many of them would be King James only. I'm not sure how that would be possible in France, since you're not speaking the English language. And you speak it fluently, but it's not the common language. But do you have any of those ultra separatist Baptists that are very often vehemently anti-Calvinists, even sometimes to the point of calling it the doctrine of demons?
Well, no, I don't think we have the same thing as you have in the U.S. There's obviously, you know, that's one of the strange thing in France, that John Calvin comes from France. He was a Frenchman, and yet he's often not very much considered in France because still people would see Calvinism as they would not say a doctrine of demons, but they would not be very how should I say that, they would have a quite low view of Calvinism. So that would be true. That would be very, very much the case. So, you know, evangelical churches in general in France would tend to, or at least tended to. There's a change over the last 15 to 20 years, but evangelical churches tended to look at Reformed churches as having bad doctrine, and would assume we have a kind of hyper Calvinistic understanding. And so that was the case, but nothing, I think, like what you have in the U.S., really. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, David. Keep spreading the word about Iron Serpentine Radio. We have Simone in Watermill, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, what kind of cults give Christianity the greatest problem in your area of France?
I don't think we have, well, there's obviously cults like anywhere else. So the Jehovah's Witnesses would be the most prominent. You would find them at the corner of streets around here in Grenoble. But I don't think there would be much of a problem. I think the only problem they would cause is that some French people would assume we're just the same. You know, right. they have no idea what evangelicals are.
So yeah, that's even true here. When churches may have a door-to-door campaign knocking on doors, they will very often just immediately think you're Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, so that would be the same, really. People would assume we're the same. But yeah, otherwise, it's not very much the main problem we have here in France. I think the two main, you know, cults in this sense or religion that's a challenge to us as evangelicals is the Catholic religion and Islam. Because of Roman Catholicism has been quite prominent in France, so people would tend, well, again, there's a change with the new generation, but you know, the older generation, they still have some remnants of Catholic upbringing, and usually these are, you know, bad memories for them. They have all sorts of bad experiences with the Catholic Church, and they assume if you speak about Jesus, they assume that you're just bringing the same message. And so it's tough to bring people with this Catholic background and Catholic traditions to understand what the gospel is and that it's very different from what they heard when they were young. So that's one challenge. And yeah, obviously Islam is a big challenge as well. Islam has grown tremendously in France over since the 1950s. There are now over 8 million people from Muslim culture in France, and mainly it's the result of immigration from North Africa, from former French colonies, who came to meet employment needs in France. But the problem is that, because they're very, very prominent in France, they're taking much space in the public square. Well, the French government has to pass a lot of new laws, which are mainly against Islam, but churches like ours, so evangelical churches are kind of they have to comply to those laws as well. So because of that, we've had quite tough situations in the last years, mainly because of laws passed against Islam. But we're just part of the whole package in a sense.
Now, how has that created problems, the laws against Islam?
Well, just one example. Two years ago, they passed a new law against what they call separatism. And because of this new law, so churches had to be way more open about their budgets and their finances. And especially you cannot receive now money from abroad, or at least not more than 10,000. You can get maybe 10,000 euros a year, and you don't have to report that in any way. But as soon as you receive a large sum of money, you have to be very transparent with that, and they're going to cause many troubles, because obviously the main reason was, money coming from Saudi Arabia or Qatar to found terrorism in France. But that led to lots of problems for missionaries, Christian missionaries in France, who received their salary from abroad, and who for whom it was quite tough. So that's one example. Another example would be, homeschooling. So there's a lot of Quran schools in France, and the French government is very much against that. So they outlawed homeschooling, actually. So you can still do it, but you have to apply to, you have to make a special request to be able to teach your kids at home. And it's very, very hard to get to be allowed to do it. So many families we know tried to get the permission to do homeschooling, and they just didn't get it. And that's all, laws that have been passed in the last years, mainly because of Islam.
Now, is it common or rare to have friendly interaction with local Muslims, even if you are being so bold as to bring up the differences of your religions and be openly evangelistic towards them?
Well, I would say usually it's sometimes even easier to have a conversation with Muslim in France than with French people. So French people, secular people, would be very, very closed. They just don't want, if you bring up religion or faith, they're just going to, close the conversation and leave it at that. Whereas Muslim people would be at least very interested to, just to talk about faith. They understand what faith is. They understand, in some ways, the difficulty to be a religious or person in France. So, yeah, I think we would get more understanding from Muslim people than from French secular people.
Interesting. Yeah. And would this primarily be, as far as your Muslim neighbors, primarily be immigrants, or do you have native Frenchmen and French women who have converted to Islam or even been raised in it?
No, it's usually people who came. It's mainly people from immigration from North Africa, but it's the second or third, sometimes the fourth generation already. So it's people who were born and raised in France, but they have really close ties to North Africa, and they struggle to identify and to assimilate to the French culture. But no, I'm not saying there's not at all, but there's very few French people who actually got converted to Islam. Yeah.
Well, when we come back from our middle break, I want to delve more deeply into the Roman Catholic culture of France. Once again, folks, if you have a question, please submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Please be patient with us, folks, because the middle break in Iron Sharpens Zion Radio is always a bit longer than the other breaks, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, uses our middle break to air their own public service announcements to abide by FCC regulations to geographically localize Iron Sharpens Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, where they're located. They do that on their end, and we, on the other hand, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, keeping in mind that the finances that come through our advertisers are what enable Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to continue broadcasting. And also, don't forget to send in your questions to Pastor Joel Favre at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highlight several books published by or available through solid-ground-books.com that go in nice harmony with our discussion today. First of all, the book Elijah of the Alps, The Story of William Farrell, the Swiss Reformer, by William Blackburn, is a fine volume that you should get a hold of through solid-ground-books.com. And don't forget about the 19th century French Reformed pastor Adolphe Monod. He has a couple of books available through solid-ground-books.com. Living in the Hope of Glory, A Dying Pastor's Farewells. And that is by Adolphe Monod, translated by Constance K. Walker, editor. And another volume by Adolphe Monod, St. Paul, Changing Our World for Christ. And once again, Adolphe Monod was a 19th century Reformed French pastor. And there are a multitude of other volumes that will bless and enrich your life and edify you at solid-ground-books.com. Please place an order today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to my discussion with Pastor Joel Favre, who is a Reformed Baptist pastor in Grenoble, France, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at IronTripAndZionRadio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, your church, your parachurch ministry, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, folks, I never want my listeners giving less money to their own church where they're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. In other words, never cut in to the finances you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us financially. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use our finances to provide for our church and our family, and providing for Iron Trip and Zion Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have been blessed with extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, and you love this show, and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound, Christ-honoring church like the Reformed Baptist Church that my guest today, Joel Favre, pastors in Grenoble, France. Well, no matter where you live, I have an extensive list spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you're without a solid church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Pastor Joel Favre. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And our friend Dave in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania, just had another thing to add. He says, "Chris, I understand what Pastor Joel is saying about speaking with Muslims in France. When we lived in a Paris suburb, my wife especially had great fellowship with our Muslim neighbor's wife across the street, sharing meals in Christ with her and her children. The husband worked long hours, so I never had much opportunity with him." So thank you for that added bit of information, Dave in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. Going back to what I said before the break, I wanted to delve more into the dominant religion that is, for lack of a better term, a rival of Bible-believing Christianity in France, and that is, as you said, Roman Catholicism. How much of the Roman Catholicism that you have encountered in France is genuine Roman Catholicism and not what we discussed earlier about what does exist in the Bible Belt of America, where it's just nominal?
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Good points. I think there's two things. It's interesting, you know, historically to go back to remember what the importance of France in the Catholic world. You know, France is was nicknamed the eldest daughter of the Church. That is the eldest daughter of the Catholic Church, because, well, it was seen as a country of great importance in the Catholic world, you know, going back centuries. And there's still something of that. So, there's still some pride in some French people that they have towards their Catholic heritage. Obviously, since the French Revolution in 1789, there's been a great blow that has been dealt towards the Catholic Church. So at that time, at the French Revolutions, the revolutionary authorities suppressed the church. They abolished the Catholic monarchy. They nationalized church property. They exiled thousands of priests and killed many more. And since then, well, the Catholic Church has lost its influence in France, very much so. So people would still identify as Catholics, and some would have, you know, a strong pride, I guess, linked to that because of this past I just described. But for most of them, it's mainly, you know, superstition or tradition. Today, the proportion of Roman Catholics who really attend Mass, who regularly go to church, who attend Mass, is down to, you know, 6-7% of the population. So less than 4 million people, something like that. And actually, there's if you look at the current rate of decline of Roman Catholicism in France, there will be no French priests left in the Catholic Church in less than 30 years. So there's a massive decline in France. And by contrast, actually, evangelicals have seen a significant growth from the 1950s to the present day.
Hallelujah.
That's really great. So there was just 50,000 evangelicals just after World War II, and now we are close to 1 million today. And so there's been a massive growth and so, you know, an inverted tendency or a reversed trend in a sense. So Roman Catholicism is really very much in decline in France, evangelicals are growing. Daniel Lichty, who's vice president of the French National Evangelical Council, says that since the 1970s, a new evangelical church has opened in France every 10 days. So I cannot be entirely sure that's right, but it must be close to the real number. And the number of churches has increased from, you know, 500 to more than 2,000 over the last 40 to 50 years. So there's a big growth in number among evangelicals.
Now, you mentioned superstition as being a major element of the Roman Catholic community. That is expressed in different ways depending upon the ethnic and national origin of the Roman Catholics that you are evangelizing. For instance, there are certain countries, even comparatively here in the United States, although it obviously varies, but there is much more of a reserved expression of Roman Catholicism here, whereas in South and Central America, you have the real flamboyant idolatry that you see in public festivals and parades with of course, they would not call it worshiping idols, but they certainly are worshiping these idols, no matter what they say to describe it. I don't know how much of that is a factor in Italy anymore, but that used to be strong there as well. So what would be the flavor, if you will, of Roman Catholicism predominantly in France?
Well, yeah, it would not be as, flamboyant, as you said, as in Latin America. It's way more private and reserved quiet than in Latin America or Italy, in France. But there is a superstition in the sense also of, a mixture of traditions from the Roman Catholic Church and mixed with the occults, occult practices. That's something quite strange, actually, in France, because, well, it's a nation that considers itself enlightened and, in France, people are spiritual people would be looked down upon as ignorant or superstitious. But actually, strangely enough, for a nation that considers itself enlightened, there's been a rise of the occults in France, because I believe because of secularism, because religion has been so much put out of the public square, it has left a void, and the void has been filled with occult practices. So actually in France today, we say there are 15,000 more occult professionals than Christian workers. So the Catholic, you know, outlook in France would be very much like, you know, old traditions from the Catholic Church. So people still going to mass from time to time, maybe twice a year for Christmas and Easter, and then baptizing their kids and getting married at church, but then mixed with a lot of occult practices. So that would be what I meant by superstitions as well.
Okay, we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, I know that Reformed Baptists are very rarely ecumenical with Roman Catholics, and I'm not suggesting that you should be, but have you had the opportunity to have cordial interaction with local Roman Catholic clergy?
Yeah, a couple of times. I had a chance to the reason I met some of clergy from the Roman Catholic Church is that actually our church is currently renting a building. So we don't have our own building. We're renting a place, and it's actually an old Catholic building that's used to be a place where priests would come to get their theological training. So it has changed now. It's mainly a building where they rent, you know, facilities and rooms for students. And so they rent this conference room for us on Sundays. But it's still run by the Catholic Church. And so through this meeting place that we rent for Sundays, I've, you know, got the chance to have friendly exchange with clergy. And it's always very, you know, we can have good discussions and talk about, you know, our differences, and it remains a very courteous. So, yeah.
Okay. We have Charlene in Toronto, Canada, who says, what are the most typical kinds of rejections that you would receive when evangelizing local French natives?
Well, I think the two main answers we would get is, you know, people saying things like, well, I'm not religious. So, you know, you would start speaking about Jesus and people would say, well, thank you very much, but, you know, I'm not into religion. That's not my thing. And the other thing would be very much the hypocrisy thing. So people saying, well, there's too many hypocrites in the church. So I'm not interested in what you have to say to me. And that's mainly because of the, you know, Catholic background. As I was saying before, people who, there's still, you know, in the older generation, people who have actually gone to Catholic schools and have been to catechisms and things like this. And for many of them, it's, you know, this idea of, well, I heard it all. It's all hypocrisy. I've seen all the, you know, sexual scandals in the Catholic Church, for example, and it's all hypocrisy. I'm not interested in it. So those would be the two main big things I think we get when we speak about Jesus. You know, it's, well, I'm not religious. I'm not into that. So don't speak to me. Thank you. And there's too many hypocrites in the church.
Now, how do you respond to those kinds of rejections? I have for quite a number of years, when someone will bring that up, because it comes up a lot here too, Christianity is full of hypocrites. And I will very often say to someone who makes such a charge something like, so you're rejecting Jesus because of Judas? Are secular humanists and atheists free from hypocrisy? And, you know, and where did you get the idea that Christianity can declares itself to be an organization filled with perfect people without sin? That's why we needed Jesus Christ to die for our sin. How would you respond to such accusations?
Yeah, well, all the things you said, but also just to try to point them to Jesus and show them that, well, Jesus was the person was the most against fake religiosity and even point them to the passages where he speaks to Pharisees and just points their hypocrisy and calls them out for their hypocrisy and just trying to show the people that if they don't like religion, fake religion, if they hate hypocrisy, well, they're in good company with Jesus. Jesus is he's the one who coined the phrase hypocrisy, hypocrites. That's what I try to show the people, that they are right to be against this fake religiosity that they've seen in the Catholic Church, that they are very much right, and actually Jesus would be outraged like they are, but he's very much for sinners who come to him with all sorts of flaws and sins, and he's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who just who are honest about their failures. Yeah.
Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, says, are most of the people that populate evangelical churches, including your own in France, just evangelicals from other churches who moved to your area, or are they actually converts out of Roman Catholicism or atheism?
Well, I would say a bit of both. In my church, actually, my church is quite the church I'm serving is actually quite special in the sense that we have almost only French people. Real French people. What I'm saying that is the reason one of the reasons for the growth of evangelicals in France is that there's been a lot of immigration, people from Black Africa coming to France, or from islands, many islands, and so these people would come and have usually an evangelical background, and so that's one of the reasons for the growth of evangelicalism in France. But the church I'm serving is actually mainly French people. And I'd say that half of them are people who got converted at a later stage in life, coming from, a theistic secular background or Catholic background. And, well, half of the church would be people who grew up in Christian homes and just moved into the region. So a bit of both, but yeah.
Care to relate to our listeners any actual stories of encounters with native French folk as you proclaim the gospel?
Can you repeat the question, sorry?
If you could explain, share anecdotes, stories of actual encounters for the gospel of Jesus Christ that you and members of your church have had with native Frenchmen and French women.
Mm. Sure. Well, what we do very much is Christianity Explore course, because, well, I guess it's the same in the States, but maybe even more so here in France. It takes so much time and efforts and friendship before people start to be interested in the gospel. So what we tend to do is, having people invite their friends, and we do a Christianity Explored course over the course of a year, usually. What I realized during those Christianity Explored course is that with many French people, I felt, a bit like Jesus must have felt with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus is speaking about the water of life. He's speaking about spiritual matter, and she understands just about that he's speaking about the water in the well, which is, she just thinks into material categories. And many times this has been the frustration for me during those courses, to speak about spiritual things, and people in France are so secular that they're just understanding everything you say as things about material life. And so that has been a big frustration. But we actually had a Christianity Explored course this year with three women who none of them come from a Christian background. They just had no idea whatsoever what the Bible talks about. And it's been just, you know, such an amazing time. I remember especially talking to them about the cross and trying to explain to them the difference between what we tend to believe we have to do with God, that is to pay our debts ourselves and to pay for our sins, as it were. And that's what Jesus offers is a substitution where he pays for ourselves. And I was showing them this story of Barabbas and Jesus and this exchange, you know, where Barabbas is set free because, well, Jesus takes his place in some ways. And I was trying to show them in what sense that is a great picture of the gospel, of what Jesus did for each person that puts his faith in him. And I was just amazed to see these women just, I think, understanding the good news of the gospel. I'm not sure any one of them is yet converted in this sense, but this was such an intense moment when they realized, well, I'm the person, I'm the one, you know, on death row. I'm Barabbas here in the story, and this is what Jesus has done for the human race. He's come to take our place, and I think they were just so moved. That was a big moment for me this year, just to realize, well, these women, I think they understood what it meant on the spiritual level. They're not yet converted, as far as I can tell, but yeah, that was a very moving moment for me.
Yeah, in fact, one of the most powerful sermons I ever heard was where a pastor used the very analogy that you gave of Barabbas, and that was preached years ago by William Hughes, who originally from the United Kingdom was pastoring at the time in Florida, and he was a guest speaker at Trinity Baptist Church of Montville, New Jersey, and presented that message, and I was blown out of my socks by that excellent analogy. We have Jean or Jean, J-E-A-N, from Loma Linda, California, who wants to know how much of an issue in your area is Seventh-day Adventism?
Not much, to be honest. So we have Seventh-day Adventists, but they're very, very small minority. So we don't have much contact with them. It's not a big issue, really. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jean. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron and spreading the word in Loma Linda, California, and beyond. Let's see. We have Bobby in Searcy, Arkansas, who wants to know, are you at all involved with the Huguenot Fellowship?
Not directly. So I've, as I mentioned before, I did my theological training, at least part of it, at the John Calvin Institute. And they have been supported, the institute there in Aix-en-Provence has been supported by the Huguenot Fellowship. And because of that, I've had some links with the fellowship, but not more than that, and not since my time at the institute. Yeah.
Now, are there churches that exist today that are direct descendants, as far as passing on the baton over the centuries, going back to the Huguenots, the original Huguenots, or is it just that there are churches like yours that continue the legacy theologically? But, you know, are there actually are there Huguenot churches that actually have an older heritage?
Well, there's a region in the south of France, in the Cévennes, so the region where the Huguenots would really hide during those religious wars. They would hide in the Seven. So in that region, there's still quite, you can, if you look at a map of France where all the church, Protestant churches are, you'd see that in that region, there's more, way more churches, Protestant churches there. And that's still, you know, kind of a small remnant of those Huguenots. But I would not, but most of them would today not be liberal, but not very attached to, they would be more attached to their, you know, Huguenot heritage in the sense of the historical story, but not very much attached to the theological heritage.
Right.
And so it would be mainly, you know, churches like ours who would be attached to more this theological heritage, actually. Yeah.
Now, how were the Huguenots unique in their expression of the Reformed faith?
Well, I think the great things about the great thing about the Huguenots passed on to us, at least for Reformed people today in France, is this idea that you don't know what the future holds, and there might be tougher time coming, and that might be really the case in the coming years, that there will be tougher time for Christians here. But they give us a great example of, you know, just being faithful till the end, and finding all sorts of ways to keep on preaching the gospel and spreading the good news, even though they had to hide, they had to flee in the mountains and be away from, you know, the big centers of influence in the country. Despite all of that, they had a great, great testimony. And so I think it's mainly, you know, an example for us, maybe for the coming years, as probably, well, there's a chance persecution will grow in France and in Western Europe in general. So, yeah, I see them mainly as a big example for us today.
Now, were they Paedo Baptists? Were they Credo Baptists? I'm not very extremely familiar with the Huguenots.
Well, yeah, most of them would have been Paedo Baptists, but it was a mixture of both. But yeah, mainly would be Paedo Baptists, there was lots of, you know, different trends, and there's a quite charismatic wing to the Huguenots also. So there's been, also some excesses at that time. So they're not examples in all ways, but in everything. I think they've shown great courage in the face of persecution and great faithfulness to the gospel.
And as far as your Reformed Baptist congregation there in Grenoble, France, do you have more connection and fellowship with conservative, truly Reformed Presbyterian congregations or Reformed Baptists? I don't know which is numerically greater.
Yeah, well, that's a big difference, I think, compared to the States. So there are very, very few Presbyterian churches in France, actually. So most churches would be Baptists, and among Reformed, in the Reformed traditions, it would be also mainly Reformed Baptists. So there are Presbyterian churches. There's one, for example, in Lyon, which is the next big city here from, so 1 hour away from Grenoble. We have good contacts with that Presbyterian church there. So there are some Presbyterian churches, but it's mainly Reformed Baptist churches.
Okay, we're going to our final break now. If you want to join the conversation before we run out of time, send in your email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Chris Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon,
all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com, enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And remember that, folks, especially those listening in France today, as I'm interviewing Pastor Joel Favre of Grenoble, France. If you live in France or anywhere else in the world, you can now order from CVBBS.com at affordable prices. I want to also remind our listeners that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And we have, let's see, we have Derek in Orchard Homes, Montana. And Derek said, what are the greatest heroes from the past and present that typical Reformed Baptists in France hold to?
Well, obviously, you know, John Calvin would be one of the main heroes of the faith from the past here in France. You mentioned Monod.
Yes.
Just before, and that's obviously also one of the great writers and pastors that we look up to. You know, he was not the only one during that time of awakening in Geneva, so Monod would be one of them, and there would be others at the same time who rediscovered the doctrines of grace and were very instrumental in that awakening in Geneva. So that would be other people. There's actually in the region here in Grenoble, there's been at the time of the great of this awakening in Geneva, there's a man called Félix Neff, who was an evangelist in the Alps, not very far from here, and that would be another big figure for people here. So those would be some, you know, obviously all the reformers like Viret, Farel,
yes,
would be other people we would look up to. But again, as I mentioned before, you know, most people would not know these names, as well, especially in, you know, in the society at large, but even in churches, they would not necessarily know these people. But I guess in reformed circles, they would be a bit better known. Yeah.
Yeah. You just mentioned Viret. Or V-Ray, as some Americans pronounce it. I was first introduced to Pierre V-Ray from Zurich Publishing, which is a publishing ministry here in the United States, in Florida. And they have been very generous donating books by V-Ray to the pastors that attend my biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastors luncheons. So just to give them a little plug, the website is zurichpublishing.org, zurichpublishing.org.
And they did they published an excellent biography of Pierre Viret.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And, I want you to summarize in a couple of minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding your ministry in France.
Sure. Well, I guess the main thing I want to share is that there are many reasons to be encouraged of the state of things in France. Well, the evangelical church is small. It's just a bit above 1% of the population that would consider themselves evangelicals. And even among the evangelicals, well, some of them would not be, you know, Bible faithful, you know, and Christ-centered believers or churches, but still there's a lot of great encouragement. So, for example, you know, 40 years ago, one of my teachers at the John Calvin Institute went to the annual convention of evangelical churches at Nogent near Paris, and he told me that there was about 60 people who attended. And he went a couple of years ago, and there were up to 2,000 people coming, and the theme was taking the scripture at its word. So a very clear message there given to 2,000 people. Just another example, last week, the Bible Institute in Geneva organized a meeting of the French Gospel Coalition, and there was about 1,000 people who attended, most of them young people who just, you know, enjoyed listening to, you know, good headline speakers from the U.S. like Ted Tripp or Paul Tripp, and they enjoyed singing Townend and Getty in French and things like this. So there are things like this, which just another example. Also, last year we organized here in Grenoble a conference with Mark Dever and the ministry, the Nine Marks Ministry, for, you know, pastors who are rediscovering good ecclesiology, you know, and there were 100 pastors there, and you know, some of the older pastors like my dad or David Vaughan, who have been, you know, working in this French speaking Europe in this setting for a long time, they could not believe their eyes. They said, well, when we started, there would have been maybe, you know, 5-10 pastors. Then there's now 100 of them who are, you know, who want to teach the doctrines of grace, who understand what good ecclesiology is, and preach, you know, expository sermons. So that's very, very encouraging. Also, regarding literature, 50 years ago in the French-speaking world, there was very little in the way of biblical literature. You know, with a few exceptions, maybe books like by people like G.I. Packer or John Stott, but except, you know, a few books like this, there, it was really hard to find good theological books. But today it's very different. It's not difficult to find books in French by Sinclair Ferguson, Paul Washer, John Piper, Arsis Paul. And also there's a new generation of French writers. So very, very encouraging in many ways. But I guess the challenge, so there's a great encouragement, but the challenge we face, I think there's still a lot of poor teaching in churches in France, in evangelical churches. One of the great needs today is that we would have better preachers, you know. There's a great need for Bible-rooted churches with preaching that brings solid exposition and practical application. There are good training institutes like the Geneva Bible Institute or the Brussels Bible Institute, but otherwise the other institute, they do not seem to train preachers. And models of what expository preaching or biblical ministry is are not very easily found in France. Too many sermons are homilies or performances, you know, entertainments, short or long. And so that's one of the big challenge, the poor teaching. And I guess there's also in some churches a suspicion about theology. People are suspicious about theology which they would associate with liberalism, and so they don't delve deep into our theological heritage, like, you know, the writings of John Calvin and people like him. So this would be a big challenge we still face here in France.
Well, we are out of time. I want to make sure our listeners have your website, erb-grenoble, that's grenoble.fr, erb-grenoble.fr. And don't forget, if you want to hear a couple of sermons in English by my guest, a pastor, Joel Favre, you can go to gracebaptistcarlisle.org, gracebaptistcarlisle.org, click on sermons, and scroll down to two sermons he preached recently for us at Grace a Baptist church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I want to thank you so much for doing such an exquisite job on the show today. I look forward to having you back on the program. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.